All you guys, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. And we've been studying the book of Revelation and the very important chapter that we're going to get to right now, Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to talk about a battle that's going on in the world today and will be going on. And it's in Revelation chapter 13. Last week in Revelation chapter 12, we talked about one nation that God has chosen. And God has chosen this nation to save the world. When God became a man, He came into this world as an individual from this nation. And that's just God's choice. You say, why did He choose that nation? He didn't choose the United States, or He didn't choose England, or He didn't choose Uganda, or He didn't choose some other country. He chose this nation, and when He became a man, He was born of this nation. What nation in chapter 12 did we talk about? Mary?
Israel.
And Jesus came from Israel. Now, there are 12 tribes in the nation of Israel. What tribe did He come from? He was from a particular tribe in that nation. Does anybody know the tribe? I don't know that we talked about this last week, but just raise your hand if you know the tribe. Yes, Kimmy?
Judah.
Very good. That's why he's called a Jew. Jew. That's people say Jew, but a Jew is not all of Israel. A Jew is really the tribe of Judah, and that's the tribe he came from. Now, we didn't talk about this last week, but he came from a particular family within the tribe. He came from a particular family within that tribe. Does anybody know the family that he descended from, or an important leader of that family that he descended from within the tribe of Judah? Danny Owen. Yes, David. David, he is descended from David. By the way, he's descended from David on Joseph's side, who was his adopted father, not his biological father, because he had no biological father. God was his father and birthed him as far as his human nature through a miracle, the Holy Spirit. But his mother was also descended from David, and there were different sons of David. His mother was descended through Nathan, the son of David, and his father was descended from Solomon, very famous son of David, his adopted father, Joseph. So he was legally, by adoption, from the tribe of Judah and from the family of David, and naturally so. And so God, you see, God has a plan for the nation of Israel. And if you study Genesis chapters 1 through 11, chapter 11 and chapter 10, you're concluded with God's dealing with all the nations of the world. But in chapter 12 through the end of the book of Genesis, He focuses in on establishing one nation. Why did He establish that one nation? To save the world. He did not establish that one nation so they could be holier than thou, so that they could be just for themselves. No, He established them so that they could win the world or save the world, you see, through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're in chapter 13, and it's very important. These two chapters kind of are an interruption in the chronology of Revelation. Chapter 11 leaves off at day 5 on Mount Zion, and chapter 14 takes back up with day 5 in that chronology. We'll talk about that later. But chapter 12 and 13 deals with this cosmic war that's going on between Satan and God. And there's a war going on between Satan and God, and you're on one side or the other this morning. You're on one side or the other. Either you're in Satan's family or you're in God's family. I don't care what tribe or what race or what language or country you're from, you are either on Satan's side or God's side, and it's not dependent on race, it's grace. It's have you accepted the grace of God? Have you accepted the Savior that came from Israel as your personal Savior? Are you born again of Him? Or are you from just that first Adam, that natural Adam that fell, and you just have a fallen nature and you're bound in sin and under Satan's control? And you can be very religious and still be unsaved. You can be a Jewish person and be unsaved. Jesus said to the Jewish people, His own people, He said, you're of your father the devil, and the will of your father you do. Why did He know they were of their father the devil? Because they rejected Him. And they eventually crucified Him. And if you reject this Bible, if you reject the Savior, then you're on the wrong side. Come on in, Brother Eddie. All right. All right, Brother Eddie's a farmer. You can see that. All right. So, chapter 13, we are going to deal. If chapter 12, we dealt with God's chosen nation and the nation that God has chosen to reach the world with. Now, chapter 13, we're going to be dealing with something else that relates to that. But let me just say this about Israel. The Bible says this, that the kingdom of God is coming to this world. That God's kingdom is going to reign over this world. And that will not come until the king comes back. And he's got to come back. And the next capital of this world will be Jerusalem. And the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, will reign over this world. But there's one thing that must happen before that can happen. Until this event happens, according to Romans chapter 11 and other scriptures, the kingdom of God will not come to this world. Does anybody know what that event is that has to happen? Marion, Owen?
Would it be that the Jewish people accept him as the Messiah?
Very good. Now, you have Jewish people that accept him. I'm sure everybody knows a Jewish person that has accepted their own Messiah. I know some. But the whole nation hasn't done it. The Bible says all Israel will be saved. And when God says all Israel, he means all Israel. He means what he says, and he says what he means. Some people try to spiritualize that. Oh, all Israel means all Christians. No, he says all Israel. There is, in the Bible, there are three groups of people. The Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. You're in one of those three groups. I was a Gentile, I got saved, I'm in the Church of God. You're either Jew or a Gentile, or you're in the Church of God.
Amen.
Gentiles are all the nations. All the other nations that are not the Jews.
Amen.
The Jews are the Jews. And the Church of God is the family of God. And that's made up of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and so forth. And brought together and washed in the blood of the Lamb and saved by the grace of God. And that group is bigger than our own church and our own denomination and all of that. That is the Church of God. Now, however, before the kingdom of God must come to this earth, God's earthly people, Israel, the literal 12 tribes of Israel, those people, those Jewish people, they must all to the man accept him as Savior. And Brother Eddie knows what day that is after 7 years. That's called the tribulation, but it's not all tribulation, but 7 years. On what day after the 7 years, Brother Eddie, is Israel going to be saved, according to Hosea 6? Third day. Bible says it in Hosea 6. That whole nation will believe on him. Now two-thirds of that nation will have been killed. But on the third day, the whole nation will accept the Lord. That tells us something about the power of God. You may come into here today and think you're just going to a contest and have some fun and get some points. But God says, no, I want you to know you need to be saved. That if you die, you're going to have to pay for your sins in a place called hell. And I came into this world as a Jew, and I took the sins of the world upon myself to pay for mankind. I came as a man to pay for the sins of mankind. And you need to accept me, your God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you do that by faith, then you will go out of here saved. You will have been saved, and that's really why you're here today, so that you can be saved. And that's the power of God, that he saves people that are lost. And he uses the Word of God, and he uses the foolishness of preaching the Word of God. And that's why we stand up without apology, and we say, you must be saved, you must be born again, or you'll not get into the kingdom of heaven. And so in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, we have here something that goes along with chapter 12, God's chosen nation. And what is it in chapter 13 that we have, do you think, that goes along with God's chosen nation? And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And I'll tell you what it is. But I'm going to have Marion give a shot at it. What do you think, Marion? Actually, it is Satan's kingdoms that he has raised up and will raise up to destroy God's chosen nation and God's chosen Savior. You see, this is a battle. And Satan wants to destroy God's work. And so in chapter 13, if you look at verse 1, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Listen to me, you might say, "I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't want to be in a fight." Hey, I don't want to be in a fight either. I don't like to be in a fight necessarily. But guess what? When you got saved, you got in a battle, and you're on one side or the other. Now it's time for my illustration. Now, Bob came in this morning, and I said, he's a member of the church, he's a member of the class. I said, "Bob," I said, "you dress like everybody else, just like a civilian." I said, whose side are you on?" He said, "I don't know." You know? Now, Brother Eddie, I know what side you're on. You're a farmer. It's obvious. Now, I'm an umpire, and I'm dressed like a farmer, but my wife's dressed like a cowgirl. She's like a rancher, so, you know. But you're on one side or the other. And if you're saved, the devil knows whose side you're on. He knows your name. He knows your number. And listen to me, and Marion, you touched on it. Someday the devil is going to divide the sides up, and he's going to mark his team. Did you hear what I just said? Someday, I believe in your lifetime, you'll see it, the devil is going to divide the sides up, and he is going to mark his team with a mark and make it clear who's on his team. And so, you see, it's important that you take a stand that you're on God's team, and God wants that to be made clear. But be it understood that as soon as you do that, you are going to get in trouble. You say, "Well, I'll try to waffle it, you know." It's kind of like the guy that was in Maryland. He was between the North and the South in the Civil War. And he said, "You know, I got people on both sides. I don't want to take a stand." He said, "I'm going to wear a shirt, a Union shirt and a Union cap." He said, "But I'm going to put on Confederate breeches and boots. And I'll put the gray on and the blue on, and I'll do it half and half." He said, I'll just get right in the middle. And he had that Union top on, and Confederate bullets pierced all his old top. He had that Confederate bottom, and Union bullets just pierced his whole bottom. He got it from both sides. So you need to take a stand and get on a side. Get in or get out. Get on or get off. Amen. And Jesus said, "I don't want you hot or cold." He said, "If you're hot or cold," he said, you're good. He said, I want you either hot or cold. He said, "I don't want you lukewarm." He said, "Because if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." And that's what I believe is going to happen to a lot of professing Christians who claim to be Christians. They really don't know whose team they're on. And they really are not identified with the Christians. Maybe you see them in church, that's about it. But out there in the world, you can't tell the difference. And God says, "They're going to be spewed out of my mouth." And when the devil comes and he says, "I'm marking my team, whose team are you on?" It's going to be easy to be on the devil's team, because the devil's going to have all the money. He's going to have all the power. He's going to have all the peace. He's going to have all the prosperity in this world, because he runs this world. Under God, God allows it for now. And they're going to say, "Take it." And Christians are going to take his mark, and they're still going to say they're Christians, probably. This is part of this one world religion that's coming here. You know, get on one side or the other. I had a guy come out yesterday. He was nailing me Muslim. Boom, boom, boom. He came right out because I was witnessing to his girlfriend. I said, "If you're a Muslim, isn't it against your commandment to live with somebody and not be married to him?" "Whoop, yeah." He said. And then I said, "You need a savior because of your sin. How are you going to get in according to your Muslim God?" "Well, the good outweigh the bad, blah, blah, blah." That's not going to make it. And what I'm saying to you is we need to get in on one side or the other today and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And in chapter 13, you have a war between Satan's kingdoms and the beast kingdoms of Satan. And in verse 1 of chapter 13, this beast that rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns is the final kingdom of Satan that will persecute Israel. And all of these kingdoms, these beast empires that have persecuted Israel and have tried to destroy Israel, are inspired by Satan through history. And the Bible says there's one more big one that's going to arise, and it's going to be a worldwide kingdom, and it talks about it in the Bible. So it has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, We know from Revelation that the seven heads refer to seven previous beast empires that have tried to destroy Israel. And they've had rulers that have tried to destroy Israel. Four of them are in the book of Daniel, and the other two of them are in previous Bible books. And then one is going to be mentioned here in Revelation. And so you have seven of these previous beast empires. And the Bible says in Revelation there's going to be an eighth beast empire that is going to arise under a leader that will kill Israelites and try to destroy Israel. All right, and that's what this is talking about. Now let's go to verse 2. It says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." The dragon is Satan. "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon," which is Satan. "They worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now, I have here a chart of these empires, and I'm going to get them to you so you can look at them. They are empires in history that have tried to destroy Israel. I'm going to give you two before Daniel, and then four that are in the book of Daniel, and that'll make six, right? Two and four is six. And then I'm going to give you a seventh one that is revealed in the book of Revelation, and then the eighth one, which we'll talk about here. So, the first empire in the Bible recorded that persecuted Israel, enslaved Israel, made them slaves, brought them into bondage, and the leader of that empire tried to commit infanticide twice on the country by killing the babies. By the way, any politician that allows abortion or furthers abortion or takes a stand on abortion, you do not vote for that person or you're voting for murder. I don't care how much you like his politics. I'm just going to say that. I'm a Christian, and that's murder. You don't do that. Their blood's on your hand if you do. That's your choice. You heard my warning. All right, now hear me up. This empire had a man that tried to kill all the babies. And he tried to first have the midwives who had the babies, he tried to have them let the babies die. It's interesting. He didn't want them to kill them. If you check it out, he said, just let the babies die. Do you know there was legislation put forth in the Senate of the United States that said, we want to save babies that are born alive from abortions. We want to save babies that are born alive from abortions. And this legislation, if you vote for it, will save those babies. It will save those babies. A certain senator running for president said, no, the mother wanted them to be aborted. I'm going to honor the will of the mother. I'm not going to vote to give those babies food and water. They were born alive, but the mother's intent was choice. She chose to abort them. It's not our part. It's not our place to step in and save them. Everybody's entitled to their philosophy, but that's not God's philosophy. If you find a baby, somebody that needs help, you save that baby. All right? Now, all I'm saying is that was the one plan of Satan, to let the babies die. Through the midwives. He tried. The women wouldn't do it. The Hebrew midwives, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. They saved the babies alive. And God blessed them for doing that, by the way. God blessed them. The second situation was the leader himself actually had the babies killed. He had his soldiers go in and kill the babies. What was he trying to do? He was trying to destroy the Jewish nation, the Israelite nation. And he was trying to destroy the Savior. Who was behind that? Eddie?
The Roman Empire?
Well, no, I want the empire's name, but I'm talking about what person was behind that. In I know you know who it is. Kim?
I'll see. Pharaoh?
Pharaoh.
Yeah, Pharaoh is the person, but I'm looking at something else here. Marion?
Oh, you don't want the person?
Yeah, I want a person.
King Herod.
Well, okay. Denny?
Satan.
That's what I was looking for. I got you all. I'm looking for Satan. He's behind it. But the guy that was the leader, the human leader, was Pharaoh. And that brings us to the country. So what's the first beast empire that tried to destroy Israel? It's Egypt. Egypt is a descendant of the son of Noah. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It was a descendant of Noah through Ham. Mizraim came out of Ham. And so the first beast empire was what we call Hamitic, a Hamitic Egyptian beast empire. That empire passed off the scene, and there was another empire that swept down into Israel in 722 BC and destroyed the 10 northern tribes of Israel and took them into captivity. There was a leader by the name of Shalmaneser that did that, and he wanted to put Israel under his power and under his authority. And all these empires wanted to control Israel and to destroy Israel. And this man did this from this empire. By the way, this empire is a Semitic empire. There are three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now Satan used the second son, his descendants, the Semites or the Semitic people. By the way, the Jews came from Shem, so it was like their own cousins. You know, some of the worst fighting goes on between family members, right? Anybody know the name of that empire? The second empire that came down and defeated the 10 northern kingdom? It's called the Assyrian Empire. Assyrian Empire. All right, big empire in the past. All right, that's done. Now we come to the book of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, you have an image, and it has four different empires represented in that image. And then in Daniel chapter 7, those same empires are represented by four beasts. The reason why it's beasts in chapter 7 is that's the way God looks at these empires. He looks at them as beasts. But man in chapter 2 looks at them as a golden, beautiful image, glorious. God sees them as beasts. And he sees the wickedness going behind these empires. Now, in Daniel, we have the third empire, or the first of the four in Daniel, but the third in the Bible, that persecuted Israel. And that empire was in power when Daniel opens up and when Daniel begins to prophesy in that book. What empire is that? Anybody know? In Daniel.
Bob? Babylon.
Very good. Babylon, the Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember him? And he tried to defeat the Jewish people, took them into captivity. Then he was eventually defeated. By the way, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, is a Japhetic Empire. And I want to show you that all of the empires that have tried to persecute Israel, except for the first one, which was Ham, and the second one, which was Shem, all of the other empires, Satan has chose to use the sons of Japheth. Japheth are the ones he's chosen to use to destroy Israel. Very destructive, very fierce peoples that will kill and destroy. And he has chosen to use these peoples to do that. All right, and the Iraqi people are from that background. There's a wide span of people. They're Indo-European peoples. That's what we're talking about. We talk about the Caucasian peoples and Indo-European peoples come from that background. All right, now, so that empire was the third one, and then that empire, according to Daniel, was defeated by another empire, fourth empire now in our. Empires. What empire defeated them? Anybody know? Denny. Down the road, but not yet. Roman is the last of the four in Daniel. Yes, second one. Turkey? Trying to think if Turkey was in that empire. That's not the empire. No. It's called the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire. All right. The Medo-Persian Empire. The Medes and the Persians. Okay? And that empire, very powerful, is represented by a bear. Big bear in the Bible. Babylon is represented by a lion, or the Iraqi Empire, the Babylonian Empire. So the Persian Empire. Today, who represents the Persian Empire today? Timothy.
Persian? Either Iraq or Iran.
Yes, either Iraq or Iran. And in this case, it is Iran. And a very well-known figure today from Iran is that man, Ahmadinejad. And you hear him and what he's saying about Israel. He wants genocide. He wants to kill all those people. He wants to get rid of those people. That's Satan working through him. All right, that empire was a very powerful empire. And you remember during the days of Esther, that was the Persian Empire. Her husband, Ahasuerus, was his name. Xerxes in history. In Bible, his name is Ahasuerus. He had a very powerful man that he hired. His name was Haman. And Haman was a Persian, and he wanted to destroy the Jews. He hated the Jews. He did not know Esther, the king's wife, was a Jew. The king didn't even know it. And when it was revealed that she was a Jew, and she asked for her life to her husband got angry at Haman and had the gallows that he had planned for a leader of the Jews named Mordecai, Esther's cousin, he had him hung on that same gallows. So the Persian Empire was the fourth empire in the Bible, Egyptian, Assyrian, Babylonian, and Persian, to try to destroy the Jews. Didn't work. Satan failed every time. He never gives up. And by the way, we ought to learn a lesson from the devil. Get going for the Lord. The older you get, sometimes the slower you get. No, God wants you to refire, not retire, for Jesus. And Satan, as we come down to the end times, the Bible says that he knows he's only got a little time left. He is going to work like never before. He is going to make the world more corrupt and wicked than ever before. That's the enemy that we fight. He doesn't give up. He's relentless. And he's on the losing side. Hey, last I checked, I read the Bible, the last chapter of this book. When we get through it, we are on the winning team. So we shouldn't give up. Never give up. Never give up. Satan may knock you down. Get back up. You heard what Winston Churchill said, don't you? During the dark days of the beginning of the Battle of Britain, when the Germans were coming and bombing that place and bombing that place, and it looked like Germany was taking over all of Europe. He spoke to a graduating class, and they asked him to speak, and he stood up to speak, and they said, what speech is this man, this great leader, going to do? He goes, never give up. Never give up. Never. 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 Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never. Never give up. And he sat down. And his, they call him the British Bulldog, his tenacity kept him going. I heard if you take a bulldog, I have a bulldog, it's a bull roddy, but if you have those bulldogs and you put them on water skis and you put the bit in their mouth, you know, where they hold that thing, they can actually hold the bar in their mouth, and they put them on a big ski and they pull the bulldog in a boat and he goes off the ski and falls off the ski, you can drown him because he will not let go of the thing. That's the way we ought to be. Bulldog for Jesus. But Satan doesn't give up. And after the Persian Empire failed, it was defeated by a man by the name of Alexander the Great. You ever heard of him? Powerful leader. He defeated the known world of his day, all the way from Europe to India. And he became the leader of this great third empire of Daniel and the fifth empire of the Bible that persecutes the Jews. What empire is that called? Anybody know? Yes.
Greece.
The Grecian Empire. The great Grecian Empire. All right, we're getting closer to modern times now. And we're going to get to the sixth empire. And that sixth empire. Now, by the way, let me say one word about the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great died as a young man. He was drunk on his birthday and he died. About 30 years old, he's gone. Empire went to his four generals. One of his generals, one of the four, was named a man by the name of Seleucus. And he became the head of the Syrian branch of the Grecian Empire. And Greeks moved into Syria. And a great leader in about 171 BC was raised up in that empire, that Syrian branch of the Grecian Empire. And his name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And Antiochus Epiphanes is a type of the beast that is going to persecute the Jews in the tribulation time. And this man persecuted the Jews from 171 to 165 BC. And he was a Syrian that came out of this empire. So modern day Syria is a very important country. It is a country that is under demonic influence to kill the Jews, just like Iran is. All right? All right, now you come to the sixth empire, the fourth of Daniel, the sixth of the Bible. What is that empire that defeated the Greeks and reigned and is a great empire represented by the legs of the image that are in Daniel chapter 2 and represented by a terrifying beast in Daniel chapter 7, a nondescript terrifying beast. Powerful, yes.
Roman.
Yes, Raymond. The Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire took over, and in Daniel's day, Daniel predicted this Roman Empire would rise, and he spoke about it, and that is the sixth empire, all right? Now, I'm not going to go any farther with that. I want you to go back to the Bible now, and I want to look at this a little bit, because it says here in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." All right? So he's got seven heads. And the final form will be 10 horns. And it says they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. We talked about that. Who's able to make war with him? Verse 4. Verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blaspheming, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now that's talking about the second 3.5 years of the 7 years that are still to come, when Daniel predicted in the time of the Persian Empire from 445 B.C. and a decree that was made to rebuild Jerusalem by a Persian leader, to rebuild Jerusalem and to begin to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem from 445 B.C. until the end. He said there would be 70 times 7 years, or 490 years. And 483 of those years were fulfilled from 445 B.C. in the Persian Empire until Christ came on Palm Sunday in 32 A.D., until he came on Palm Sunday in A.D. 32 to present himself as the Messiah on Palm Sunday, and he was rejected and he was cut off according to Daniel. So there's 1 7-year period of the 490 left to be fulfilled. All right? And during that 7-year period, this beast is going to come to power, and he'll continue in power for 42 months, and he will be bent upon destroying Israel during that time. All right? And so he opens his mouth to blaspheme God and his tabernacle and they that dwell in heaven. In verse 6 and verse 7, "It was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." So he's going to have worldwide power, and they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, it says, if their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's going to lead people into captivity. Now, I want to share with you that we've looked at six of these empires. And if you go to Revelation chapter, go to Revelation chapter 17 here for a moment. Revelation 17. And look at verse 10. Revelation 17, 10. He said, "There are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space." Now, John is writing in A.D. 90 from the Isle of Patmos on the Aegean Sea. What empire was in power when John was writing the book of Revelation? What empire? Of all those empires that we've talked about, one of them was in power at that time. If you think you know, raise your hand. Angel?
Roman.
You're exactly right, the Roman Empire. Now let's check that out on what I've just said. Go back to verse 10. He says there are seven kings, seven leaders of these beast empires. Five of them are fallen and one is. That would be the sixth is, five are fallen. Can anybody name to me the previous five empires that were fallen with their certain leaders that persecuted the Jews when John wrote this? Five had fallen, one was. First of all, before we look at the one that was, which we just looked at, can anybody name to me the five that are fallen? Bob Watzel's going to do it. All right, go ahead, Bob.
Egypt. Assyria.
Yes.
Babylon.
Yes.
Medo-Persian.
Yes.
And Grecian.
Yes. Those are the five that fall. It fits. One is, and which one is when he wrote?
Roman.
That's the Roman. Now you got six empires, right? That's what we got. Now, Brother Bob Majeski, if you could hand these out for us. Maybe each family member, a leader of a family, or if you're single, get one of these. It's got Satan's eight beast empires on here from Bob Van Kampen's book. And I want you to look at that. I think it'll be helpful to you. All right. Now, as you're getting that, I want you to look at verse number 10 of Revelation 17 now. It says, there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. All right, now we got seven, and one is coming. Are we running out of stuff there? All right, she's going to make some more copies. All right, here we go. Now, notice that in verse 12 it says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as one with the beast. Now, these ten kings make up an eighth beast empire. They make up the eighth beast empire. So the question is, who is the seventh beast empire? Now, if you got this, you know that the eighth beast empire has ten toes, which represents ten nations that control it, that have the leadership of it. I personally believe that is the European Union, which even now today is run by ten nations, which were called the Brussels Treaty Power. They have one currency. They have over 400 million people. And the European Union is descended from Japheth and the people in that nation. And they are like iron and clay. They're from different backgrounds and different languages, but they're all united together. And their theme or motto is unity and diversity. And they're going to be the ten toes, and I believe that's the revival of the Roman Empire. But we have between the legs of iron and the ten toes, which is a revival of the old Roman Empire, I believe the European Union is a revival of the old Roman Empire, and that is going to be the empire over which the beast is going to rule when he does the tribulation and persecution of Israel. But now wait a minute here. Between the Roman Empire, the sixth empire, and the eighth empire of the beast, represented by the ten toes, there is a seventh empire, which is going to continue for a little time and then vanish away. It's not in the book of Daniel, and it's not in the Bible previous to this, and you got to figure out what it is. And let me just say this, if you look at the fact that Rome in 70 AD defeated Israel, and that Daniel said that in AD 32, we know after 483 years, the Messiah would be cut off by Israel, and because of that, God stopped their kingdom program, and now he turned to the Gentiles and gave the gospel to the Gentiles. He had Israel in AD 70 to be cut off as a nation and to be destroyed and to be scattered. And that happened all the way up until AD 1948 when they became a nation again. So sometime during the time that they were cut off as a nation in AD 70 and 1948 when they became a nation, there had to be an empire, listen to me, an empire that would try to persecute them and have a leader that would try to destroy them. That would be a mysterious empire not previously revealed in the Bible. Can you think of a leader and an empire that tried to persecute the Jews between AD 70 and AD 1948 and was successful in killing millions of them? Timothy Brown. Adolf Hitler. And Now I'm going to show you something that's really scary to me. I would like you to look at Revelation 17, and we're just about out of time, and I'm going to finish up, and then next week we'll look at this. I want you to look what it says. It says in verse 11, Revelation 17, 11, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition." The Bible says that one of these seven beasts, the Egyptian, the Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, Roman, or Nazi German, one of these previous seven beasts will come back again out of perdition and will reign again. And will come back and not be recognized for who he is until it's too late, and then he will persecute Israel. Now I'm going to show you who I think that is next week. I think you got an idea. And cloning may be involved, but it's scary. But God's got the victory. Satan's got power, but God's got all power. All right, we'll look at this next week. All right. Accept Jesus Christ without delay.